If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a couple minutes. I want to hit a couple things that I mentioned earlier. Again, we want you to just join us in celebrating Easter this year. And one of the things that I thought we might be able to do, and even do kids while we're in the sermon time, join us for Palm Sunday, which is today, celebrated worldwide today on the Christian calendar. And I saw this, someone sent me this week. I think it's going around on some of the social media. But what if today we celebrated, we're all kind of sheltering at home, but what if we went outside, or maybe we made our own palm branch or found a small branch or something? Like, kids don't tear down a whole tree or anything, but take a branch and put that up on the on your door or on your window near your front door, and we'll kind of celebrate together. And then what we want you to do is, while we're kind of doing this, and parents, if you need to run away for a second, help them. If they're old enough to go get a branch or make something, get them the stuff for that. But if not, just we want you to take a picture and show that in the stream, in the notes, in the comments, either on our website or on Facebook, and that way we can kind of share together, kind of celebrating Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Also, next week is Easter, and we really want to join with you next Sunday morning at 9:30. Our goal is to have, it's a little different. Typically, we will send out invite cards, we will send out postcards to everybody, and things being so different this year, what we're asking you to do is, when you see on Facebook, and we're going to actually want to actually you to check your email. That would be kind of new for some of you. Check your email. We're going to send you something that you can share with your friends to invite them to join us next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday at 9:30, and let's see how many shares we can get and how many people might show up to celebrate Easter with us next Sunday. Our goal is to have as many shares as possible. We want you to join us in celebrating Easter. We want you to invite as many as you can. Good Friday is this coming Friday. I believe that is the 10th, April 10th. We are going to do a special service that will premiere twice on Friday at 2 p.m. and also again at 8 p.m. And during that time, we invite you to join us and invite others to join us for a Good Friday service. We've never had one before, so this is one of the good things about being in this situation. We're trying to produce different things that we can celebrate, come together and celebrate together. And that's one we're going to do Friday. 2 p.m., that's sort of a traditional time, the early afternoon for most churches to celebrate Good Friday. But there's also an option for you if you want to wait until maybe the kids go to bed that evening. You could wait and watch at 8 p.m. That 8 p.m. will then stay on Facebook, and we will also have that posted on our website. So join us Good Friday for Good Friday service. And then if the kids haven't left the room, let me, one more announcement for the kids. And I meant to, Greg, run get me a bag of eggs out of the closet. I meant to bring those up here. Run get those. Kids, hang on. Let me do this announcement, and then I'll come back to the kids, okay? How's that for a tease? So adults, one other thing that we're working on for Easter Sunday is an Easter concert with Sarah Lynn Grubb. This is going to be specific to Two Rivers Church. This is going to be specific for our group. We've invited her. She's agreed to do a concert just for us, and that's going to air next Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. again, right? We're going to premiere it twice on Facebook. We're really excited about Sarah Lynn Grubb. She has been here for our Women's Refresh Conference twice. She also led worship for us those Sundays that she was in town for those. She is from Simi Valley, California, and while she's on quarantine, she is going to do while she's on stay-at-home order from the governor of California, she is going to do a concert for us, and we're going to premiere that next Sunday. It's part of our Easter, just things that we want to do for Easter for you this year. So Friday night, we invite you to our Good Friday service. Sunday morning, we invite you to celebrate Easter with us. And then Sunday afternoon, Easter Sunday afternoon, we invite you to join us again for an Easter concert with Sarah Lynn Grubb. It's going to be really, really cool. And now I'm still kind of waiting for Greg. He was going to bring me some eggs. Apparently, Greg is on an Easter egg hunt even this morning. So everybody kind of write in for Greg. Make some notes there on Facebook. Hurry up, Greg. Please hurry. Greg, I'm dying out here, Greg. Nothing. He has lost all the Easter eggs in the closet. I guess we'll just move forward. So if you have been following along, whenever Greg gets back, we'll do that. Okay, kids, don't lose track of what's going on, right? Stay excited. It's coming. I got a big announcement for you. If you haven't gotten your Core 52 book, you can order those. You can get them on Amazon. You can also get those on your devices. And we invite you to do so and join along with us today. We're in chapter 14, and we're excited about that study and about what's going on in Core 52. This morning, I want to start with some help for some of your marriages. Now, I know that some of you have spent a lot of time together. As a matter of fact, you probably haven't spent this much time together since your honeymoon, being on self-stay-at-home order at a home. So I'm going to give everyone a little help. Now, disclaimer, none of this did I learn from my own marriage, because I don't want to be in trouble when I get home today. I simply read this on the internet. So if I'm completely off, then it's not my fault. But I want to give you a how to survive the stay-at-home order that we have here. Here's how to translate what your wives... hang on one second. I need to talk to Greg. See, this is what happens when things are live sometimes. You got to work things out. I forgot this. Greg is trying to help me, but we got it worked out now. So how to survive. First, we'll do how to survive the stay-at-home order. Here's how to translate, guys. I'm trying to help you out, right? I know everybody's at home. I know that you're kind of there together. There's a lot of togetherness going on right now. So here's how to translate what your wives mean when they say certain things, okay? When she says, do whatever you want. So what men hear is she's telling me that I can make my own schedule today. But what she really means, guys, is whatever you do, do not do whatever you want. I want you to keep asking me what you can do today to help me until I'm sure you really care and I can give you a real answer. Okay, that's what it means. Do whatever you want. Guys, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can do whatever you want, all right? So I'm trying to help you out. How to see kind of through what... And I read this on the internet, so take that for what it's worth, all right? Here's a second one. If your wife says, can you watch the kids? See, what men hear is, I can check my email, I can catch up on work, I can rest a little bit on the couch, and the kids will let me know if they need something. But what she really means, guys, is this. Please give everyone dinner, help everyone with baths, read bedtime stories, help with homework, put everyone to bed, actually in their pajamas, not like they fell asleep here and you drug them and put them in their bed after they, you had lost track of them, right? Ladies, am I close? Look at your husband and say, he's getting close, right? Just look at him and say, he's not too far off, okay? Here's the third one. If your wife, guy, says, you don't need to buy me anything, then this is getting important, right? We're getting ready to come up on Mother's Day here in about a month. What men hear when their wives say this is, she has everything she needs, and she doesn't want me to buy her anything for her birthday, for her anniversary, for Mother's Day, for any of those times, right? That's what guys hear. Ladies, when you say to your husband, you don't need to buy me anything, honey, but what she really means is, if you really love me, you'll figure out the perfect gift for me, and you'll include a thoughtful card, and if you're not sure what I like, you better ask my best friend, my mother, or one of our teenage daughters. Like, right now, that is the greatest gift to me. We have teenage daughters, and they're helping me out all the time because I don't do very well, guys. I'm just being transparent here, okay? All right, guys, here's another one. I got two more. The fourth thing that your wife might say to you during this time when you are on a stay-at-home order, you might be having a discussion. I'm getting kind of real now, right? And she may say, what? What men hear when you say that is, she's asking me to repeat myself because for some reason she didn't hear me the first time. Either she is really distracted or she needs a hearing test. That's kind of what guys are thinking when their wives say, what? But what she really means, guys, is I heard you the first time, but I can't believe that you said that, and I'm going to give you a few more chances to change what you just said. That's kind of what she's actually saying. Ladies, am I right? Is that close, right? And then the final one is this. I mean, if it gets to this, I hope it doesn't. I hope that you're, you know, just having marital bliss, you know, during this stay-at-home time. But if she ever says, "I'm not arguing." See, what men hear is she sounds really calm, and maybe that means she is finally seeing this from my perspective. But what she really means, guys, is I'm tired of saying the same thing over and over again, right? In other words, I got to move on. He's not bright enough to figure it out, right? So sometimes we have these differences because people don't always say exactly what they mean. Sometimes we have to kind of read between the lines. And today we're starting a new series called Between the Lines. Now, before we jump into that, I have something special for the kids. I want to show you this, guys. We have a lot of eggs here at the building. And what we would like to do for this Easter, matter of fact, I'm going to open this bag. I don't know how else to open it, Greg. It's hermetically sealed somehow. I don't know what that even means, but so we have all these eggs here, right? And guys, I don't know what to do with all these. So kids, are you watching? Is everybody watching? I don't know what to do with all these. So we thought we would do a Easter egg hunt. What are we calling it? It's an egg hunt in the a to-go Easter egg hunt. Is that what it is? It is the egg hunt to go. That's what it is, right? This is egg hunt. It's kind of like DoorDash, right? For where all your meals are come from, kids, right now. But this is egg hunt to go. We will supply the eggs. Your children's ministry here at Two Rivers Church. We will supply the eggs. We will supply the candy. And all you have to do is get someone, your parents, whoever's at home with you on this stay-at-home order, get them to hide the eggs in your backyard. We will give you the candy. We will give you all these eggs we have sitting around because we missed our egg hunt today. And we would love to do that for you so that you can have an egg hunt with your family at home. All you need to do is let us know. You can direct message us on our Facebook, and we will give you the details as to when you can come pick them up. We kind of need to know how many kids are in your family. We need to know exactly. We'll let you know exactly when to come pick them up. Or you can email us at info@tworiverschurch.com. So that's really cool. I may step on some of these, but it was done by effect. And there's even some candy from last year in these eggs that, you know, we're going to probably try to get rid of most of that. But there is a little bit of Tootsie Rolls and stuff in there. So sometimes we don't hear or see or get what people are saying. Sometimes we have to read between the lines. How's that for transition? See, the entire Bible is about Jesus. It's a one thread that kind of weaves throughout the Bible, and it's all about Jesus. Sometimes he sits on the surface of the page. It's obvious, right? Especially this time of year. Jesus became more and more straightforward and blunt the closer it got to the crucifixion. But other times, Jesus hides between the lines. This four-week series is going to explore some of these hidden gems that shine brightest when Jesus is brought to light. To get where we want to go today, I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 5. It says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give to you.'" So Solomon is the son of David, and he's the first of the kings of Israel who would fulfill God's promise to David that the throne would never leave his family. So Solomon was not perfect, but he was a good king. Here in 1 Kings chapter 3, the beginning of Solomon's reign as king of Israel, God appears to Solomon in a dream. Now, I had a dream a couple weeks ago. I don't usually remember my dreams, but this one was sort of profound and alarming. And so this one I did. And I was about to step up. The dream that I remember is I was about to step up and speak. Now, I don't remember exactly where I was. I got the sense in the dream that it was a pretty big deal, right? You know how you get nervous before a big speaking of it, you might dream about, you know, have you ever had the dream that you walked up and you were supposed to be speaking to this group and you forgot to get dressed? Well, it's sort of like that, just a little different. So I'm about to walk out on the stage. It's a pretty big deal. There's a lot of people in the room. And I look down and I notice that I'm not wearing my usual jeans and a t-shirt. I'm actually wearing one of Bonnie's tops. I don't know. It was kind of strappy. You know, like, it was kind of tight and kind of strappy. And that's also weird because Bonnie doesn't really wear too much strappy stuff that I remember, you know, like, which is kind of funny. But I knew in the dream, I knew that this was Bonnie's outfit or top, or I don't think it was a dress. It was just something, and it was kind of strappy. And I was walking out. It was like, and so I was ready to walk out. I realized it right as I was ready to walk out, and I was wearing this strappy top. And then I woke up. To be honest, I don't know what to do with that dream exactly. I mean, it just happened to me. But Solomon's dream was much more straightforward. God says, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Now, I got to think, I think I have a sense of right now with kind of the way things are, I know what we would ask for. Right? If God came to us today and said, what can I do for you? Ask for whatever you want me to do to give you. I think we would ask to end this pandemic, wouldn't we? We'd ask for a cure. We'd ask that no one else would die. Maybe in different times we may ask for enough money to not have to worry, maybe a new job, maybe a new career. I mean, there are a lot of things that we might ask for. We might ask for health of our family at any time. God comes to Solomon, the beginning of his reign as king, and says, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Pick it up in verse 6. So Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him, and you've given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? So Solomon, God says, whatever you want. And Solomon asks for discernment. He asks for wisdom, so he can govern God's people, so he can be a better leader, so that he can be a good king. Probably not what I would have asked for, but it sure is something we could use right now, isn't it? Not a bad prayer for us to pray. Maybe add this to your daily routine. Let's pray for wisdom. Wisdom for our families. Wisdom for our church leaders. Wisdom for our local government, for our bosses, right? Wisdom for our national leaders. Matter of fact, I want to stop right now and just pray that prayer. Will you bow with me? Will you pray this prayer for God to give us wisdom? Father God, we know that these times are difficult. And we know that there is probably going to be worse days ahead. But Lord, we just pray for wisdom. We pray that you would make it obvious to us as families, to us as a church family, to our local authorities, to those who govern us, to our national leaders. Lord, we just pray for wisdom on all levels to know how to move forward. Lord, we know and we trust you. We just pray, Lord, that we can make good decisions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's keep reading in verse 10. It says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you've asked for this and not for a long life or wealth or for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized that it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all of his court. So not only did God grant Solomon discernment, but he also gave him all the things that he didn't ask for: wealth, victory over his enemies, a long life, he promised. So now, as we look back over time, Solomon has become synonymous with discernment. His legacy is wisdom. As a matter of fact, there is a book of wisdom in the Old Testament called Proverbs, written by Solomon. And our key verse today is from Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 7 says, "Fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." See, Proverbs 1:7 is the theme to the entire book of Proverbs. There are two words in this verse that I want to lean in on this morning. The first is fear, and the second is wisdom. Let's start with wisdom. Mark Moore, in the book Core 52 that we've been using as a study guide this year, says, "Wisdom in the Bible is the ability to practically live out God's truths in a way that brings health to you, your family, and your community." It's pretty timely, isn't it? See, I think the question that we should be asking ourselves during these times is, how can we be more like God? The Bible says that God is love. And those who claim to be Christians, the Bible says, should walk as Jesus did. And he exemplified love. He exemplified service. See, I love that from the very beginning, the church, right, worldwide, has been leading in compassion. We're trying to walk as Jesus walked. From the very beginning of this crisis in our world, the church has set the example of love and compassion. We stopped meeting. We social distanced. We figured out ways where we can still continue to worship. We figured out ways how we can connect in small groups. We're doing the best that we can. You know why? Because that's who we're supposed to be. That's who God has called us to be. That's wisdom, the ability to practically live out God's truths in a way that brings health to you, your family, and your community. See, throughout the Bible, wisdom always shows itself in action. Joshua's wisdom empowered him to lead the people of Israel. Ezra's wisdom enabled him to administrate a community. By wisdom, David lived ethically in exile. Daniel lived ethically in exile with his enemies. Through wisdom, Paul debated the philosophers and critics. See, wisdom is when the Spirit of God moves and engages a person for God's good. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, "This is what we speak, not in words taught by us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." So when Solomon asked for wisdom, God gave it to him. He gave him the abiding presence of the Spirit to help him lead on God's behalf. See, wisdom is when the Spirit of God moves and engages a person for God's good. Let's look at the second word in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and that's fear. At the end of another book written by Solomon, he states this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. He says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of all mankind." So what does it mean to fear God? Should we all cower at the thought of God? Should we hide in the closet? No, listen to what God tells the Israelites, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul." See, God wants us to have a healthy appreciation for who he is and his will for our lives. When I was a kid, I loved to spend time with my dad. He was a really good man. He was a teacher by profession, and I actually think that he wanted to teach so that he could coach. He was really a coach at heart. And so he loved football, track, basketball. He played golf. I remember growing up and following him to football practice. I had a little helmet when I was 5 and 6 years old. I put this helmet and uniform on, shoulder pads, and all those big guys would think it was pretty cool that I was out there running around with a football, trying not to get, you know, run over. I loved to play catch with my dad in the front yard. And as I got older, he would come to my ball games and even coach me in several sports. I mean, I just can't tell you how much I love my dad and how much I love spending time with him. But I also had a healthy respect, you might even say fear, of him. See, he could look at me in a certain way, and I knew better. I better straighten up, or I was going to find out what discipline really looked like. And he was never mean. I just knew that he was serious at certain times. And I know that a lot of you know what I'm talking about. You have parents like my parents. I can almost see your heads shaking in agreement. You see, with God, fear turns to reverence. Reverence turns to awe, and awe to adoration. It's not about cowering in fear. It's about a healthy respect and love for someone that you look up to, even more so than you do someone in your life like I did with my father. At the end of the Bible, John writes in the book of Revelation, "Then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you servants, you who fear him, both great and small.'" See, the fear of God, and not just what we do, but it defines who we are. Right back to our key verse, Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." See, God is worthy of our respect. He created us. He knows us. He knows what's best for us. You see, when we trust God, we can live our lives with wisdom. The fear of God, right, that healthy respect leads to discernment, and that wisdom points us to Jesus. See, what's hidden between the lines is Jesus. As we honor God, as we try to follow him, we see that hidden between the subtext of the whole Bible is simply this: God loves us, and he sent Jesus. That's real wisdom. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us, for sending Jesus. We thank you that throughout the Bible, everything that we read points us to this one thing, and that's this, that you love us, and that you demonstrated that love for us through Jesus. And God, I just pray that as we discern in this world right from wrong, that we would use you as our example, that we would lead in compassion, that we would lead in love, that we would pave the way in this world, no matter what's going on in our lives, that we would pave the way in service and taking care of others. And so, God, this morning as we wrap up this teaching time, we just simply want to honor you with a healthy respect and awe that leads us to praise you. And God, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a couple minutes. I want to hit a couple things that I mentioned earlier. Again, we want you to just join us in celebrating Easter this year. And one of the things that I thought we might be able to do, and even do kids while we're in the sermon time, is join us for Palm Sunday. which is today, celebrated worldwide today on the Christian calendar. And I saw this, someone sent me this week. I think it's going around on some of the social media. But what if today we celebrated, we're all kind of sheltering at home, but what if we went outside or maybe we made our own palm branch or found a small branch or something, like kids don't tear down a whole tree or anything, but take a branch and put that up on the on your door or on your window near your front door, and we'll kind of celebrate together. And then what we want you to do is, while we're kind of doing this, and parents, if you need to run away for a second, help them. If they're old enough to go get a branch or make something, get them the stuff for that. But if not, just we want you to take a picture and show that in the stream, in the notes, in the comments, either on our website or on Facebook, and that way we can kind of share together, kind of celebrating Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Also, next week is Easter, and we really want to join with you next Sunday morning at 9:30. Our goal is to have, it's a little different. Typically, we will send out invite cards, we will send out postcards to everybody, and things being so different this year, what we're asking you to do is, when you see on Facebook, and we're going to actually want to actually you to check your email. That would be kind of new for some of you. Check your email. We're going to send you something that you can share with your friends to invite them to join us next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday at 9:30, and let's see how many shares we can get and how many people might show up to celebrate Easter with us next Sunday. Our goal is to have as many shares as possible.